Good evening, ladies and gentlefers. Welcome to the South Africa podcast. You're listening to myself, Ivic Wolf, here. You're also on furry.fm for those of you guys who are listening to us on the live platform on www.furry.fm. And this evening, we have obviously Scratch, our co-host.
Yo.
And our guest for this evening is Radix. Am I saying that correctly?
Yeah, Radix.
Radix.
Okay. That's me. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, always a pleasure. Obviously, we're going to just jump directly into this. You're a musician in Brazil.
Mm-hmm.
From Brazil. Whereabouts in Brazil, actually? We can ask that question first.
Maybe. In the northeast of Brazil, in the city of Recife, in the state of Pernambuco.
Okay.
Not going to try to repeat that.
Mm-mm. I could say Recife.
Yeah.
That's as accurate as you'll need to get.
Yeah, and then obviously music producer, singer, songwriter, game audio designer, and voice actor. So that's one heck of a profile. How exactly does that sort of, how do they all sort of play into one another?
Well, since I was very, very young, I've always been into video games and music. I grew up with video games. My very first one, I believe it was a Super Nintendo, and then I went to the PlayStation. Never, like, the PlayStation 1, and actually never went beyond that. You know, I played, like, PlayStation 2 and all the other stuff, but I pretty much grew up with the hardcore classics. And the music was always, it has always been the main thing that would attract me in a video game. Like, even if the gameplay is cool and all, I need good music. I need something that actually, you know, makes me fall in love with that game. So even if I don't feel like playing it for the sake of, like, I don't know, having some progress while I'm playing the game, at least I can listen to the good music that it has. Mm-hmm. And... you know, like, since I was very young, I would talk to my friends in school, and we were all into video games. And the main thing would also be music, the main subject of our conversations. And since I was already into, like, learning instruments and stuff like that, the very first songs I tried to learn were obviously video game stuff. Mm-hmm. From, like, Super Mario to Legend of Zelda and, like, many, many others. These things, they just kept, like, connecting as I grew up. At first it was music, but then I started watching a bunch of anime and other stuff, and the whole voice acting thing just appeared in my life. I met people who worked with that, and I felt, like, instantly interested in that. So as I grew up, there was yet another interest. I decided to just, like, begin, like, doing impressions and stuff like that, to the point where I started understanding how it actually works and how, like, voice acting, making, like, songs for video games and sound effects, how all of these things connect to one another so people can, like, make all kinds of media and stuff like that. So, yeah, mm-hmm. Entertainment in general is what gave me most of the knowledge that I have today.
All right. And... I mean, with so many sort of media points and everything like that, like, I mean, and especially being in, like, Brazil, for that matter, like, what mm-hmm. exactly, what is the scene like in that area particularly?
Okay, it really depends, because, for example, the anime stuff that I mentioned, it is a very, very big thing in here. Like, there are several anime conventions all over, like, all in every single possible state here in Brazil. And pretty much, like, people love it. You know, it's a really big thing here. And I'd say that it's certain things about it are still growing. The whole thing about, like, voice acting, for example, a lot of people, they have, like, contact with most of the voice actors that they even, like, invite them to these conventions, and they have panels and stuff like that. But when it comes to, for example, the other side of the spectrum, like gaming and, like, mm-hmm. music, like, specifically video game music and stuff like that, that's something that most people who are not necessarily, like, inside of this whole thing of like producing music and stuff like that, the average public, they're still getting used to it. I'd say they're still starting to understand how important it is and, you know, how many great things can come out of it. So, people are starting to understand and recognize the value of those things in here still. Okay. But it's growing pretty fast.
I mean, much like the furry community in Brazil as well. Speaking of which, how did you get from the anime sort of community to the furry community? Or were you already a furry and then what happened?
Well, to that, what happened was when I was very young, I would like watch a lot of anime, of course, on freaking like Cartoon Network. Like they had Toonami. Yeah, little old me would stay like up to some ungodly hour just so I could watch anime on Toonami. And little by little, they started introducing these characters in some of those animes that were actually half human and half animal. Example of Inuyasha. Even though it's still like not 100% like the furry aspect of it, it was somehow connected. It's what like some people these days they call kimono mimi. It's a slight thing, like a kind of a slight difference, but again, that already got me interested because I liked the character. You know, I thought it was cool. Like, oh my god, a guy that is like a yokai. It's half human, kind of a half demon, but he also like has these animal like traits and stuff like that that gives him powers and whatnot. I thought that was very like interesting character design.
Yeah, it's furry light, though. It's like diet furry.
Pretty much. And as time passed, I started using the internet a lot more, also to watch anime as well, because they started like providing lots of different animes that were not even aired on Toonami here in Brazil. So that's where I found most of them. I met a lot of different animes and started interacting with different communities on the internet. And at some point, once again, because of music, I ended up finding a lot of musicians that happened to be furries. An example of, at that point, I think it was still very, very popular. I don't know if it's still popular today. The Lapfox Trax or Renard Queenston.
Yep.
Yeah. So I found out about that record label, the Lapfox Trax, and started following the YouTube channel. And after like listening to so many different songs that were clearly inspired by like the good old classics that I played on many different video game platforms and stuff like that, or even animations I watched and things like that, you know, I could easily relate to those things. And that, you know, kept me interested on his music. So at some point, I started paying more attention to the whole design and the whole, you know, his characters in general, the Eliases. And I was like, oh my god, these look really cool. So I did my research and I found out, oh, so this is what it's all about. The furry community and stuff like that. So what is the furry community all about? And boom.
Fell down the rabbit hole. Yeah,
pretty much. Head first.
Sure. I mean, and like, you're pretty big in Brazil, from what I could see, at least when it comes to your Twitter profile and things like that. Like, how do you, like, what is your sort of main method of like getting your stuff out there?
So when it comes to things like what I do, at the time I started making music and stuff like that, the best way I could possibly find was to grow from outside, like from the outside. First, I was like, okay, here are the things I could do. I could either start making my content, making music and singing in Portuguese and directing myself straight to the community I have here inside of my country, or I could use all of the other communities who are already extremely big and receive a lot of value. People love them outside of my country on the United States, for example, with a Brony fandom I was a part of for about 5 years. And I actually enjoyed the show. That was one of the main things that actually got me in contact with a lot of people from different countries. So that was quite a boost, especially because there were lots of producers and content creators that were also doing what I do. related to that show. So it was a very easy way to, you know, have a source of knowledge. I could follow what they were doing and understand what they were doing and how they were doing that. So that helped me growing on that community. And since that community was already big outside of my country, when it finally reached my country, basically my name came with it.
Oh, nice.
Like the way I grew up outside by making music or any other source of any other kind of media, it already made me a little bit of a name out there. I made some friends and stuff like that. So when it finally started growing here in Brazil, I basically grew with it.
Okay. That's handy.
That's actually very handy, yeah. So, I mean, and you find yourself in many different fandoms currently. Obviously, you've mentioned the anime community, the Brony community, and also the furry community. Is it difficult at times being any one of those three inside a different part of the community, or do you manage to sort of balance those out? Because I know that it's sort of a weird thing that happens.
Well, kind of, because here in Brazil, at least, with the friends I have, the people I talk to, what happens is that most people know about all three of these communities. You know that I like the biggest communities that I was a part of, and they're all connected somehow. Sometimes I even joke. I say it's like a lot of furries also happen to be bronies, a lot of bronies also happen to be furries, and all these two at some point enjoyed anime in the past or still enjoy watching anime and stuff like that, or at least know about it. So it's not really about like being part of the fandom or interacting with the fandom, but it's more like knowledge, you know, knowing about these communities, knowing what they do. It's all about understanding what they're all about, not necessarily actively interacting with them. So for me, it's very easy because I see them as one thing, like the furry community, the whole anime stuff, and the brony community, and whatever other community I happen to be a part of. I see them all as one thing because the idea is always the same. You know, people with a common interest, producing and sharing content and many other things that they enjoy about a certain video game or TV show or even like a certain idea like anthropomorphic animals. So it's easy to manage these things that way. You put them all in a group and you just like, you know, you don't have to be very specific about it. Because you already know what you do inside of these communities. So, you know, it makes everything easier to manage and pretty enjoyable.
Oh, nice. Okay, well, that's actually really, really cool to hear. Because, I mean, it's weirdly rare, aside from people like, say, Pepper and Foxamoor, who are getting like a large amount of, you know, the music scene's attention. In many sort of senses of the term, to hear that other people are still finding ways to be successful within their genre and doing what they want to do. And I mean, like, how like sort of speaking about that, how do people react to your music? So maybe tell us firstly what kind of music you actually play and then also react to it.
Well, actually, when it comes to like I don't really follow a specific genre when it comes to music, especially because of the whole video game stuff that I like, the video game background and making music for video games. It's a very dynamic thing. It can let's say at first you're like listening to a very soothing orchestral song, but all of a sudden it changes to freaking like hardcore aggressive dubstep, you know. I enjoy both ends of the spectrum and everything in between. So what I do, instead of like trying to stick to the same genre, I always try to mix things. I always try to pick a little bit of the classic music from orchestral stuff that I really, really love. And they were basically the very first things that I actually listened to when I was young. And I just like had all the influences from electronic music and even dubstep and stuff like that. I tried to put these things together, and that's pretty much how I made my own style, you know. The way I make things work together, no matter how different they seem to be, that's pretty much like a way of challenging myself and finding new ways to, you know, make something new and enjoyable for people. And at the same time, you know, like impressing people in a way, like, you know, when people have a certain like knowledge of different music genres, they might wonder, wow, how did you make this work so well together? You know, so like that's something that it's actually, you know, it makes me happy when I actually manage to do these things, you know.
That's really cool.
Yeah. Scratch?
Hmm? No, no, I just said that it's like, it's really awesome to find someone who's sort of music that also it's hard to find the balance between music that serves a purpose and music that is still like just sort of enjoyable to listen to or that's fulfilling to make and stuff like that. So it's good that you can strike that balance.
And like when it comes to like albums and things like that, how many albums do you have out now?
Currently on my Bandcamp, dude, I actually have some of these albums are not even like they're kind of private, you know, like they were old projects that I kind of they were tests, you know, they were basically a test. For now, I believe I have about 16, not necessarily albums, but like 16 releases on my Bandcamp page, for example.
Like EPs.
Like
EPs, like 3 or 4 songs to an album kind of thing. Do you have full length, like 13, 14 songs per album kind of?
No. It really depends. Sometimes it's like 4 or 5 songs and stuff like that. It has a crazy variation because each one of my albums, they happen to have like some kind of theme. So, you know, I try to stick to a theme. I try to stick to a main idea. So the amount of songs that will come with that album, it's kind of like it tends to be a little irrelevant while I'm making those songs because it's all about a certain idea. It's all about a certain feeling. If I can make people understand that feeling or get the main idea in, like, let's say 3 songs, for example, instead of 5, then perfect. You know, it's all about delivering a message.
Yeah.
That's really awesome. And I mean, like,
Ivic?
Like, what?
Sorry, Ivic, you're breaking up a little bit.
Oh. Okay. Better? No?
Yes, better.
Hi. Mm-hmm. Okay. Cool.
Yes, hi, good.
Crap. Train of thought has decided to derail.
Ugh. Sorry.
It's all right. None of it's my fault. But,
Music serving a purpose. Albums.
Yes. Music serving a purpose. Albums. When it comes to sort of like what you want to do with your career, and I mean, you're pretty young still, if I can remember correctly.
Yeah, I'm 26.
Yeah, 26. Yeah, that's young enough. You're not 30 yet, so that's great.
Getting there.
Yeah, don't want to talk about age right now. Okay. Any case, so, I mean, like, obviously, sort of up and coming in many sort of scenes and things like that. What do you think would be your best achievement? What are you aiming to get to?
Oh, dude, okay. When it comes to achievements and stuff like that, here's the thing. Even though my main thing is music, like the main thing that motivates me, like to keep going, both with music, both with my YouTube channel and all the other, social media stuff that I do, is just being able to talk to people. Because like I love when people reach me, you know, like I love when people want to talk to me, and like even if I have never seen these people before and stuff like that, it's just a simple fact that they are willing to talk to me and share knowledge, share something that they like. Oh, take a look at this, maybe you'll enjoy it, maybe you like want to do something with it, whether it's musical or just be part of this community and stuff like that. This is something I really like, because this is what got, you know, this is what got me into music to begin with. This is what got me on the internet to begin with, and interacting with people. So it's kind of I'd say it's addictive, because it's something that always teaches me stuff, you know? Okay. So when it comes to goals, like back to the main question, is like, even though it's like my main thing is music, I still have plans for like kind of changing a couple of things on my YouTube channel. For example, tomorrow I'm supposed to get a brand new internet service provider that will give me a much better connection than what I have right now. And that will open the doors for a lot of things. I'll be able to produce and upload stuff much faster. I'll be able to like do lots of different live streams with different kinds of content, because I'm still a really big fan of like doing live streams and playing games and talking to people. So all of those things are things that I will be able to do in the future, interacting with people, doing live streams, and pretty much turning it into kind of a live show with live performances, playing guitar and stuff like that, taking challenges where people like they do song requests, and I, even if I have never heard that song before, I'll try my best to play it on my electric guitar, or like just jam over it on spot. It's something I really love doing, especially with video game music. And building a community. If you guys ever heard, for example, do you know who DA Games is?
Why does that sound familiar?
I've actually never heard
him, so. He made a song, for example, that got really popular, basically went viral, called Builder Machine from Bandy and the Ink Machine.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, that guy. I love what he does, and I love the fact that even though he does music, really good music, he also does a lot of different things related to gaming and many other things. You know, he goes to like these conventions like TwitchCon, for example. He gets to perform at these places. And, you know, that's something that I really would like to achieve as well. You know, like the same idea, doing many different things, talking to many different people from all sorts of different communities and getting to interact with them, so they give me new ideas and I find new ways of challenging myself, setting new goals and growing as a musician and as a person as well. And, you know, just interacting with people and entertaining people. Like a lot of people say, like I identify myself on the internet as a musician, but I look at myself and my interaction with people more as an entertainer, you know?
Okay. All right. I mean, and again, like that's pretty much what, again, Fox and Pepper are doing, pretty much very, very similar things to that. Do you think, I'm not sure if you're aware of another YouTuber called Richard EB?
Yes, I know who that is.
The one who does like all of the Undertale guitar pieces, which I find absolutely amazing.
He is amazing. He is freaking amazing.
But so, I mean, like how difficult is it to get into things? That I mean, like, obviously you've got to, you know, talk to people, you've got to be able to, you know, put yourself out there. Do you ever feel that it becomes a little bit too much or what?
Well, here's the thing though, like when you are that open to being part of these communities and stuff like that, of course there are ups and downs. Oh my god, English Radix. There are ups and downs, of course, but it's all about being able to read people. Basically, like, I've been doing this for several years and interacting with all sorts of people from all sorts of different places. And after a while, you begin, like, finding certain patterns in people's behavior. You know, like, you can actually read people. You can actually understand what they like, what they dislike, how you should behave around them, how, like, the things you could talk about and stuff like that. So it doesn't really reach the point of being too much for me anymore, because I just got used to it, and I pretty much I have a kind of a set of rules, you know, like things that I make sure to understand before I actually start talking to people in a more, like, more frequently and stuff like that. So first I get to understand where I am, who I'm talking to, and then, you know, pretty much set the whole thing so I can have a good environment and interact with these people in a really good way. So yeah, it doesn't really... it's not too much anymore for me. It doesn't really reach that point these days anymore.
That's good.
All right. So, I mean, obviously, like, profile says that you're different. No?
Yeah, you're breaking up a little bit, but I can hear you now.
Okay. So your profile says you're classically trained, but then you moved over to other instruments and things like that. How difficult or how difficult is it to transition from one instrument over to another one?
It really depends. For example, stringed instruments. I got started with the classical guitar, like the classic acoustic guitar. And the technique itself, like the key was how I got started, because a lot of people, they just get started like playing full chords and stuff like that. And that's how most people get their very first songs. You know, they learn their very first songs. I went straight to classic music and fingerstyle guitar, you know, the classic way of playing guitar. And that was like the main key, like the main thing that allowed me to have a much easier transition from one instrument to another, because that actually developed my coordination, you know, in a much better way than just like learning full chords would give me, you know, like the wall coordination stuff. So I started with the acoustic guitar. I moved to an electric guitar and eventually the bass guitar. I played the bass guitar in a band that I had a long time ago, like the Seikatsu, which was a band that was all about, like, you know, we would perform at anime conventions and stuff like that. So I played the bass for a while and then went back to the electric guitar. And at that time, still, I got very interested on playing the violin. So I actually got a violin and learned a couple of songs. Time passed. I kept the electric guitar as my main instrument, but kept always feeling curious about all sorts of different instruments. So not long ago, like a little bit more than a month ago, I got a flute and I decided to teach myself how to play it. So, you know, it's this kind of thing. I'll try to play any instrument that it's, you know, that I can reach. Like, I'll try to learn how to play any instrument that I can reach, because, you know, it's like that. It's something that I always had since I was young. Like, I would look at a certain instrument and I would keep thinking in my head, oh my God, think of all the, you know, the music I could make if I knew how to play that, all the techniques I could explore, the things I could learn, and, you know, understanding how that instrument works, the actual thing, having it in my hands, I could possibly use that sound whenever I'm using like my digital workstation, you know, my softwares to make music. Understanding the instrument would help me improve whatever I do on my softwares, so I could make better music as well.
Right. So, I mean, talk me through.
Mm-hmm.
Here. Talk me through Death Pact and like the meaning behind it.
Death Pact. Oh, okay. So that's going to be interesting. Death Pact is, again, like I take a lot of inspiration mostly from visual input. Let's say, like, again, back to the whole video game stuff. If you give me a picture, whatever it is, by looking at it for about like 10 seconds, I can assure you that something's playing in my head. There's some kind of music playing in my head as I look at that picture. So in that case, someone gave me a picture of Anubis. And based on that, it started like throwing me back to a bunch of movies that I watched. And this one happened, like, I forgot the name, I think, like, here in Brazil, I think it's called the Scorpion King or something like that. But basically, this guy was lost in the middle of the desert and he was almost dying. But then he started praying to Anubis and made a pact that if Anubis provided any way for him to eat and survive so he could reach his destination, basically his life would be in the hands of that god, you know, mm-hmm. that entity. Mm-hmm. So that was basically the whole thing. That was the picture I painted so I could start making that song. So the lyrics behind that, you know, like, come place your bet, let us make a new pact, lingering souls from the realm of the dead, you know, like that kind of like obscure thing. But the melody itself still like throws you back to the whole desert stuff, the desert theme. It paints the picture of Anubis, you know, sitting on a throne or just standing right in front of you in the middle of the desert. And, you know, those kinds of ideas, like really freaky ideas, they give me a lot of inspiration. So that was basically what motivated that song.
All right, cool. So we're going to be playing Death Pact. Scratch, you have it all lined up and everything?
I have not downloaded that one. Give me 2 seconds. Yeah, let's hope this works. I've never actually DJed on this thing, so let's hope for the best. I've always just been the talky tech end of it.
Yeah. Should be fine. You should learn how to do this anyway at some point.
I know.
Going to have to. Yeah. Hello.
I know.
Okay.
Just finding it real quick. Give me a short moment.
Anything else that you could say about the song? What should we look out for as listeners?
Well, again, when I make any kind of music, what I expect people to do is just to close their eyes, and as they listen to it, they try to get the message. They try to paint a picture. They try to imagine themselves in a place or in a situation or, you know, whatever they could possibly imagine. But the idea is deliver a message. Put them in a certain place, no matter what it is, you know. So it's kind of like, you know, orchestrating someone's dream. Pretty much. That's like what I expect people to do whenever they listen to any of my songs.
All right, let's see if this works. YouTube community, you might not be able to hear this now because we don't want to get copyright struck. So, yeah. Here goes nothing. So, for the best. And we are back.
All right. Okay, so for those of you who are listening to this, and it's going to be uploaded onto YouTube, of course, probably not going to be able to hear this song, but I think, do we have links to all these songs or not?
Your SoundCloud or something like that?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I do have most of these. They're all either on SoundCloud or even for Affinity and YouTube itself.
Okay.
But again, I do not think you guys will get copyright striked or anything like that, because since those are original songs, and YouTube actually doesn't do that automatically the way they used to, whenever someone uploads something that contains my content, I actually receive a message. It notifies me where it is and, you know, the percentage of, you know, that, like, the song they used. So all I have to do is just leave it there, you know?
Oh, so you don't need to. So you can say whether you want to strike it or not.
Exactly. YouTube lets you know. Like, it's a new feature. I don't know if every single channel has this feature available for them. It might be a new thing to the point where a couple of channels are still testing it. Maybe only music channels. I don't know. But yes, it is a feature that they applied, and they show, hey, this video has like it's using 90% of your content or 90% of your song. Do you want to, you know, send them, like, notify them so the video gets removed in 7 days, or you want us to remove it right now and give that channel a strike, like a copyright strike? These options are available, but, you know, it's easy to talk to people and say, hey, I'm going to use your song in my video and stuff like that. So you just leave it there, you know. You can archive those things.
That's actually really cool. I didn't know that YouTube had that
functionality.
That's actually really awesome. Maybe YouTube is turning the corner. Woo.
Yeah, we'll see.
Hopefully. Hopefully, right?
Yeah. All right. So that was actually a pretty interesting song. Obviously, very sort of, I don't even know what genre I could call that, like cultural drum and bass.
Yeah, kind of ethnic. It's what most people would call it, like the vocals and stuff like that. They are basically the whole ethnic kind of like chants and stuff like that I use sometimes. I love using that kind of stuff because it's almost like a, sometimes it's almost mystical, you know, the whole thing. It really throws back to the whole, like, traditional and cultural things from whatever place they came from, you know. I love doing that on my songs. I love, like, mixing things, you know, like electronic music with, like, ethnic vocals and stuff like that. It makes, like, even though it's a little modern, like, modern, it has that kind of interesting and mysterious feeling to it, and it's just something I love.
Have you heard of an artist called Pogo?
Pogo?
Yeah.
Pogo. Not sure. I don't think I ever heard that name before.
Pogo is
stupidly weird, but it's amazing.
Pogo is awesome, actually. Pogo uses a large amount of what actually does. They use lines and things like that from, like, old Disney movies, for instance.
Yeah.
And then, like, create like songs based off of that. My favorite one actually being the one with Robin Williams, Seize the Day. Was that Pogo?
I don't know.
I'm second guessing myself here.
Mine, you know, mine is Do Something Rhythmic with Alan Watts.
Okay. Yeah.
Like, yeah. But
it's, it's a lot like Melody Sheep. If you're Melody Sheep does something similar to that.
Yeah, just if you have a chance, check out Pogo. It's really cool. Like, essentially, he uses the snippets of songs as individual sort of notes or tones to make these, like, cadences of the flow of the song, and it's really, really catchy. Late Breakfast is also really good.
Yeah. So we're on air, but it says that the song is still playing. I don't know.
No, I thought I killed it.
Are we actually still live? Maybe we just have to ask that.
Are we live? Anybody?
No, it's live. It's just fine.
Okay, so you're hearing us.
I have it up here.
Ah, thank goodness.
Minor panic.
Minor panic.
Yeah, I thought it would. I thought it would be useful, like, just to make sure.
Yeah. So, I mean, again, if we can't necessarily sort of splice this into the interview itself, we'll definitely have, like, a link. I'm not sure, Scratch. Do you know how to?
Yeah, I'll try and make the cards.
Okay, great stuff. Then we can have little cards that will move towards wherever they go to, because they're on SoundCloud or something like that, and somebody can just pause, play from there.
Yep.
Okay, cool. That works, which is awesome.
Huzzah!
So, let's see. Trace can hear us. That's good. Train of thought. Please.
Again.
Just come back to me. Choo choo back. Yes, go.
Yeah. you said video game music was a huge inspiration for you. Is there any, have any of your tracks been used in video games? Are you aspiring to have it used in a certain type of video game? Have people reached out to you with that regard?
So, yes, there was. So far, once, like, I had the opportunity to make music and mostly ambience for one game that happens to be kind of an adult game. Yes, and ironically enough, is also a furry game.
Care to name drop, or do you want to keep that a secret?
Well, no, I can tell you guys. It's called Parafor. Yes, I made some basic ambience for that game. They like, I was just talking to some of the developers, and I, like, at some point the conversation, I mentioned that I make these kinds of audios and stuff like that. So I was just talking to them, and they were like, oh really, well, we need some stuff. And I was like, okay, you know, and I helped them in any way I possibly could. And actually, after the game was fully released, they had they made basically an album with, like, lots of different songs. I actually made one song for each one of the main scenarios that they have. And these songs are actually a part of that album as well.
Oh, that's really cool.
That really is pretty cool. So, I mean, you mentioned voice acting as well. So, I mean, what did you do in respect to that?
Oh yeah. So far, with voice acting, nothing like 100% like professional to the point of being like big somewhere. Yeah. But there are tiny projects, like tiny individual projects with people that I worked with, like most of them during 3 years, they were like from Japan, and they had these little animations that they would like to make, and these little like games and stuff. I did some voice acting through those things, and so like some fan projects and stuff as well. I'm still pretty new to the whole voice acting thing, because I'm mostly focused on music, but it's like one of the, you know, again, one of the many interests that I have. So I'm still growing with that, but I do have lots of friends who already, like, one of them is actually like works professionally with this. And I talked to her about it, and I was like, hey, I'm getting very interested about this. I think I'm going to like give it more time and like practice a lot more, maybe start producing content with voice acting as well.
Yeah.
Sometimes I even put some of the whole like voice acting stuff in some of my songs to give it more context, or any context at all. You know, some of them actually start with like dialogues and lines and stuff like that. A lot of times just for comedic value, because I like make people laugh with certain songs as well, depending on the context. But yeah, it's a very useful thing.
Okay. And that's actually, I mean, so widely sort of stretched on all of these things. This is pretty much just a love for talking to people, yeah?
Yes, it definitely is.
Is there anything like that specifically happened that made you feel that this would be your calling?
Like that actually motivated me to, yes, like just keep talking to people and yeah, go after it?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I used to, back when I was very young, I was like the shy guy, you know. I wouldn't talk to a lot of people. I wouldn't like even go after making many friends or anything like that, because that had to do with a little bit of a syndrome that I have, the Asperger's syndrome.
All right.
And that kind of made it very difficult for me to, like, for example, I was not the best of students, let's say. So I wouldn't have, like, the best of performances in school and stuff like that. And also my social skills were pretty limited, because all I did was think of music all the time. And so I grew up with that to the point where once I started understanding how my brain processes information, and once I understood that if I wanted to learn something really quickly, all I had to do was relate it to music, connect it to music somehow, then that kind of opened doors to me. Like, okay, so if I can find a way to improve my social skills through music as well, then I will most likely thrive as a musician, as a person, you know, because I'll be able to talk to people and keep this connection alive.
Oh, damn, so, that's cool.
Yeah, so if people know me as a musician, as a content producer, and they reach me with that knowledge, they reach me knowing who I am, on the internet, and knowing this, you know, this entity, like the, you know, the name Radix, then it's much easier for me to talk to these people. It's much easier to me to interact with them. And it kind of takes all that uncertainty and the whole social stuff, like the, you know, like when you don't really believe your social skills that more, it just takes that fear away. And since on the internet you can pretty much be known as whatever name you choose, you create your persona on the internet, then Radix was the perfect name. Everyone mm-hmm. would just know me as Radix. And whoever else happened to know me by my real name and stuff like that, that would not be like a sign of, you know, curiosity or intrusion. That would only mean that these people are actually close enough. They're good friends. And, you know, I allow them in my life in a more like intimate way, to the point where they know my name, like my real name, where I like where I live and stuff like that. You know, the slow transition from internet friendship to a more like real life kind of thing.
Yeah.
So it's a it's always a reflex of a good thing in the end.
I mean, like your journey kind of reminds me a little. If you're not sort of familiar with her, but I'm not sure if you've ever heard of a person called Sweet Anita.
Sweet Anita, I think I heard that name before. Yeah,
she's a girl with Tourette's who decided to start.
I know. Yeah, yeah, that girl. Yes, yes.
And like it kind of reminds your story kind of reminds me of her, for instance, the fact that like you know reached out to the internet and found that like everybody was a lot more accepting than they may have been from the very, very beginning. And things. And it's actually really, really nice to hear that, like the community that you're building sort of emulates a very similar sort of way of thinking.
Yeah, pretty much. It's pretty much the same thing, you know, like people, they ask questions. I'm always like willing to answer people's questions about like what I do and stuff like that, or sometimes even you know my points of view on things. I'm always willing to answer these questions. I actually love when people do that, because you know when people show interest on what you do and stuff like that, as a musician, as a content producer, that's always a very good thing. That always makes me smile, you know.
I mean, and obviously we've spoken about where you want to be, but like, have you sort of achieved anything moving towards where you're going in respect to like the kind of content that you're creating?
Is there yes, actually, that's a very recent thing, to be honest with you. Like, you know, the whole thing of having a set direction, you know, like a like well-established goal professionally. So the thing is. So far with producing music and stuff like that, I had several structural limitations, because I was constantly moving from one place to another and stuff like that. Brazil is still, of course, a third world country. And, to live in this place, they can be very, very rough, but, these limitations are slowly disappearing as I grow as a musician, as my name gets out there and stuff like that. The whole thing about monetizing my work on the internet is basically something that is saving me from a lot of stress, because the country basically is facing a really, really serious economic crisis. And as a third world country, facing an economic crisis plus a political like kind of it's a political roller coaster, pretty much, you know, like lots of crazy ups and downs, people like, you know, very people are pretty much against each other, everyone is fighting over political stuff and whatnot. With all of that instability, it kind of like helped me, you know, just keep calm, do what I do, watch as things happen, and calmly understand the situation so I could keep following my main goal and stuff like that. You know, like not letting it, you know, distract me or worry me too much. So doing these kinds of things helped me just keep going, you know, just pushing forward and stuff like that. But as one of the main goals, what I see in the future, for me at least, is growing just enough and making good content so I can monetize my work, achieve better conditions to the point where I can actually go full professional, going to places, performing at different, maybe even different countries, which is like something I would freaking love doing. Like, I never actually left my country, unfortunately, but that's one of the main dreams, you know, like being good enough so I could actually like do all of these things and actually entertain people and, you know, in a different way, not just like by sitting here in my room and uploading stuff on the internet, but actually being there, like talking to people, looking in their eyes and actually, you know, entertaining people in general.
Have you considered approaching
Ivic?
Hello?
Yes, have you considered approaching
Brazil Fur Fest?
Yeah, Brazil Fur Fest. I actually talked to those guys and stuff like that. But again, monetary conditions and stuff like that.
Okay.
Even if you want to travel to different states inside of the country, that can be extremely expensive, believe it or not.
Considering that your country is the size of, like, freaking half of
the U.S. essentially.
Half of the U.S. and pretty much, it pretty much makes up like the vast majority of South America.
Yeah, it is a really freaking big country. Even though it's big and all, living conditions and stuff like that are not the best, and things in here are actually very expensive, and that's in part it kind of reflects the whole political tension and stuff like that, and pretty much its instability. And yeah, like it would probably take a while until I could actually do these things by, you know, like just talking to them and setting things and stuff like that, because most of the people they had in there, like to perform and stuff like that, I'd say they were much bigger than I am. They're much like well established when it comes to like having a name on like many different communities and stuff like that. I'm actually still pretty small. Like, that's how I look at myself, and I still need to go more professional. You know, I still need to treat what I do in a more professional way, so I actually achieve a better position, so I can like do things that would be considered a little bit more ambitious.
Yeah, but don't sell yourself too short. I mean, yeah, Ivy, go ahead.
No, I was just saying, like, I mean, if one of our frequent guests, Tempo, has a very sort of, he's very singularly minded when it comes to something. When he wants to do something, he literally just ups and messages whoever the hell he needs to message, and then suddenly he's gotten in. So, I mean, like, one of the things that I think he definitely taught us is that, like, it never hurts to ask, and it never hurts to sort of put yourself out there in one way or another. And I mean, if it has anything to do with, like, you know, not having confidence, like, there's no reason for you to not have confidence in your work at all, because I mean, we've heard from your previous song already, it's up to quality standards with the vast majority of international music currently. I don't see why not. I mean, it's that entire idea of just like walking up to people and asking them if they've heard your mixtape. Like, it's, I don't know. Like, I mean, to each their own. If you feel that you need to do other things to get out there, I mean, obviously, we love having you on already. Like, your music's pretty cool. And speaking of music, I'm going to stop like trying to dig this hole any deeper. But so we've got one of your other songs. I'm not sure which one you want to showcase now.
Yeah. Which one do you want us to put on?
Yes.
Guys. Well, you can choose. I mean,
Hunting Ground, Ancient Curse, Basilisk, Void, Floating Island, Obelisk.
Okay, we can give them a little idea of, let's see here. Why not the Obelisk?
Okay.
It's part, like, this one is going to be like a exclusive because it hasn't been released yet officially.
Fancy.
But it's part of an album called Wonder.
Okay.
Okay. I am going to put on the Obelisk, and I will see the rest of YouTube in a short while. And we are back again.
Right, that was Radix with his track, The Obelisk. So maybe just walk us a little bit through this song particularly. Like, we were sort of talking off air for a bit about it, so maybe walk us through this.
Well, again, a lot of visual input in this one, but here's the funny thing. Before I even started making this one, I actually went to Photoshop. Mm-hmm. I was like, okay, I need something to inspire myself. Let's go with visual input. I grabbed a bunch of like free pictures and stuff like that, like no copyright pictures on the internet with basically pictures of like many deserts and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, okay, so what can I make here that will give me that interesting ethnic and mystical vibe, mm-hmm. but at the same time gives me a chance of like making a very aggressive transition. So what I did was basically painted a really big desert kind of thing, mm-hmm. And that was like a very basic picture itself, but the colors on it, it was like basically all red and stuff like that. It was like a kind of a night in the middle of the freaking desert, but the moon is all red, mm-hmm. and I was like, okay, that kind of throws me to a little bit of a mystical vibe. What else can I do? So since the wool visual input was already done, I went with audio input, yeah. itself. So the very first sounds that you hear, like that ambience and stuff like that, that beginning, because of that and only that and those voices, that was what led to the end of the song, like the entire idea. Okay. Like both like the that mystical kind of like voice and the ambience itself to the more aggressive beat.
So do you do most of music just like, especially with the electro stuff, like do you sort of mash up like particular instruments together and things like that? Or was this one just done completely on the computer?
This one was 100% done on the computer, but sometimes I do record my own instruments and even my own voice and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And it really depends on the context. It really depends on what kind of music I'm making and what it relates to. Like, is it related to a video game? Is it related to like some popular show? For example, in the past, there was this game. It's still around, yeah. called Doki Doki Literature Club.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And I never played the game or anything like that, but I watched a lot of people playing it. And since the game itself is not my type of game, I felt interested on the whole story and the whole like plot twist and stuff like that that, you know, this game shows. So I wanted to make a song about it, but I wasn't like really willing to play the entire thing. So what I did was I talked to a bunch of friends who actually played the game. They gave me a lot of insight and they told me what the game was all about and what happens. I watched the full playthrough. And after having a good understanding of what the game was all about, mm-hmm. I wrote a song that was kind of it has this kind of a horror feeling to it.
Yeah, yeah.
But since the main characters are all girls, I was like, there's no way I can sing this thing as a girl. Unless, mm-hmm. and then I had the weird idea of using the whole glitchy stuff that happens on that game as an excuse to sing as a male, but use a voice, like a kind of a pitch shift thing, yeah. to turn my voice into a kind of a female voice and mix those two things together and just sing the entire thing. So that was basically the perfect excuse for me as a guy to sing almost like a girl, you know, like sing as if I was the main character, a girl, but at the same time, you know, sing normally.
Yeah.
Like that was basically the perfect excuse to use the pitch shift, because the game itself is all glitchy and stuff at some point.
Yeah.
It's actually really, really cool. So you kind of used the sort of Vocaloid sounding sort of voice thing.
Yeah, kind of. I did that to my own voice.
Huh. How did that like sort of feel as an experience?
It was not something 100% new, because I've done that before with mm-hmm. a song called Spider Dance from Undertale. I wrote lyrics to that thing, and that was the very first time I tried to sing an entire song, but, you know, just use the pitch shift thing to make it sound like a girl singing. And once I decided to read the comments on that YouTube video, and people were actually asking me, Reddix, who's that singing? Did you call some random girl to sing for you? And I was like, nice. No. That's my voice. Yeah. And I was like, okay, so it was good enough to convince some people. So I might give it another try. And that's what I did with the Doki Doki Literature Club song.
All right. Well, we're coming to the end here. So what I do want to ask is, you know, you've done your plugs, anything new coming up soon, any new albums, things like that.
Anything we need to look out for. You featuring
all your social
the
media.
New stuff coming, the new stuff coming really soon. There are lots of things, actually. And that goes for many different communities, not only like the international community, but I'm also doing a couple of things in my native language, Portuguese, as well.
Nice.
So one of the things that will hopefully start tomorrow is a bunch of live performances, a bunch of like live streams on YouTube and Twitch, that goes like to interaction with people, you know, like any people that everyone who wants to like just drop by and watch the live stream and stuff like that and interact, and even like maybe join Discord calls and stuff like that, where I talk to people, we play games together, and even talk about music as well. So like they inspire me, they give me ideas, we talk about it, and a lot of times what happens is they give me these ideas, I give them credit. Like, if any song came out of it, whatever they gave me, like, let's say a picture of their persona, something they drew, like, you know, people who draw stuff, I love doing this. Like, it's one of the things I love doing the most. I go on for affinity, I look at what people are drawing, and their drawings, they inspire music. They actually inspire melodies, and I come up with entire songs based on that. I freaking love doing that. So it's a good way of like coming up with something original. Mm-hmm. Sometimes if they allow me to use their pictures as a cover art or even on YouTube, that's a great way of advertising their work as well and working together and giving them more exposure as well. So this is one of the things that I really wish like people would do more often on for affinity and many other medias, and like, you know, musicians and like visual artists working together in such kind of way. It's something I'm actually trying to encourage a lot of people on doing by giving them credit and giving them exposure and stuff like that. So it's like, you know, it's just something I really love. But again, starting from tomorrow, lots of live streams, hopefully. I'll also release like one of the songs that you guys played, The Obelisk, as part of the album. The other song, The Hunting Grounds, is also part of this album. It will probably be released very soon. And
played exclusively in the music bit after this, yeah.
Woo.
Lots of like songs in Portuguese as well, because if everything goes as I expect, I might be partnering up with a company that provides lots of popular games here in Brazil called Level Up Games. I'm not sure about that. I'm just hoping for it. I have very, very good connections like with some of the game masters and some of the people who seem to be responsible for choosing their partners on that company. So if everything goes right, I'll be making a lot of songs related to a game called Ragnarok Online. Ooh. It's a real, it's a classic song. It's a classic classic game that was released like back, I think, in 2002, 2003. It reached Brazil along with this company in 2004, if I'm not mistaken. And the game is simply beautiful. It goes through ups and downs and stuff like that, but the game itself, it's simply beautiful. It's the right game for anybody who wants to experience the good old times and actually have a feeling of the traditional MMORPGs back in the time. in the golden, like, let's say the gold age of MMORPGs, you know, the gold time, like the golden times of MMORPGs. Yeah. Exactly. This game still holds that essence, you know. So it's good for people who want to have that good old nostalgia.
RuneScape, yeah, EverQuest, that kind of jazz.
Feeling. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Exactly. Those times. So, nice. Yeah, hopefully this will work as well. But those will mostly be songs that I will make, like MIDI that I will make. If I sing, it will probably be in Portuguese. Mm-hmm. But I do have plans for, like, I do have plans of remixing some of the soundtrack of that game as well, which is nice. Simply beautiful. Beautiful. Same people responsible for the soundtrack on more popular, like, other popular games like Tree of Savior.
Mm. Okay, awesome.
Right, well, thank you, Radix.
I think you cut out a bit. Repeat.
Yep.
Thank you, Radix, for joining us this evening. We really appreciate that you were able to join us. And yeah, good luck for, you know, everything moving forward. We really hope that you sort of achieve everything that you want to achieve. It's really, really good hearing it from you. And yeah, we're happy to share some of your music with our audience as well.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me again. It was really a lot of fun. And I do hope that, like, Free FM and your project itself, like, grows a lot more. Like, I really think, like, the website and everything is just so well organized. I really like the way it looks. The interaction you guys have, like, with your guests and stuff like that is just awesome. I really hope you guys, I hope you grow a lot as well. I hope the best.
Cool. Thanks a lot, man. We really appreciate it. And yeah. Right. Ivek, you're going to play some music after this, correct?
That is correct, yes.
Okay,
sweet. We'll obviously be playing the other two songs that we have from Radix as well. We'll be playing it, sort of interspersing it throughout the rest of this evening all the way to 12 o'clock. So for the next almost two and a half hours, we'll be playing some music.
Yep.
All the way to 12.
All right. Once again, thanks everybody for listening, and we shall see you perhaps next week, perhaps? Yes, definitely next week.
Devs next week with Trace.
Okay, cool. Well, cool. And yeah, once again, Radix, thanks a lot for coming on, and we'll see everybody again soon.
Yep.
Cheers.
Cheerio.
Bye-bye.